From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Alex Chadwick. Coming up, how relief workers are coping with new travel restrictions in Indonesia. The military won't let them go outside the main towns without an escort. First, the lead. More assassinations in Iraq with the elections less than 3 weeks away. In separate incidents, gunmen shot to death two aides to Iraq's top religious leader, the Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani. He's the nation's most senior Shiite cleric. The Ayatollah supports the nationwide elections on January 30th. He's cautioned his followers that reacting to violence by insurgents threatens to further divide the country. But the violence in Iraq does create huge problems for candidates as they campaign in the weeks leading to the election. Steve Negus is the Financial Times Baghdad correspondent. Steve, thanks for joining us on Day to Day. And tell us, things must be very complicated, really, in trying to run these elections. That is, you have slates of candidates. People don't even really know who they're voting for, do they?
That's correct. Most voters only know the candidates by the list, the name of their lists, and a lot of the lists all sound alike. They're all national alliances for unity and democracy and such. These lists, for a large part, aren't actually announcing their candidates for fear that the individual members will be singled out for assassination. This makes it very difficult for many voters to distinguish who's running with whom and whom they should support.
How do people campaign? I mean, can they hold rallies? Is there advertising on television or in newspapers? What do they do to get their message out?
Well, there's lots of advertising on television, particularly the Arab satellite channels, from the campaign associated with Prime Minister Iyad Alawi. He's giving ever more frequent press conferences as a prime minister, and he's also buying up paid advertising time on Al-Arabiya, which is one of the two most popular satellite channels. Campaigns which don't have that kind of money are somewhat stuck. Alawi's main competitor for the votes of the Shia majority, the United Iraqi Alliance, is lucky in that they have the support of the country's most respected Shia cleric, Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, and they are putting up his picture on their posters all over town. Alawi's people have actually cried foul. They say it's not fair to pretend as though you have the endorsement of the Grand Ayatollah when in fact you don't, and they're saying that this is exploiting religion, but the alliance says that they have a close enough relationship with Sistani that it's justifiable that they do that.
How does Mr. Alawi differentiate himself from the United Iraq Alliance, this big Shiite party that you've talked about?
Well, Mr. Alawi, Prime Minister Alawi, is running on his personality, his reputation as a tough guy. The party's slogan is Strong Leadership, Safe Nation, and they have pictures on their campaign literature of Alawi staring out of the darkness, keeping watch in Iraq, as one of their members put it. Alawi was the man, after all, who was given credit for approving the attacks against insurgents in Najaf, which is a Shia city, and in Fallujah, which is a Sunni city. So of those Iraqis who think they need strong leadership to put down the insurgency, think of him as sort of an equal opportunity crusher, somebody who steps on any insurgents, no matter what their religion is.
Would he be seen as a pro-American candidate? Is the presence of the Americans, the occupying force, is that the central campaign issue, or is it the presence of the insurgents who are causing so many problems with such violence there?
It's both. Insofar as you can say that there's sort of an Iraqi middle, very many Iraqis are tired of both the insurgent violence, which they think are very nihilistic, and of the U.S. military presence, which they consider sort of personally dangerous. It's not that difficult to get shot if you're driving close to a Humvee. So even though Alawi is associated with the Americans, he is also taking some policy and party platforms that sort of distances himself from them by negotiating a timetable for the withdrawal of American troops and reversing some of the mistakes that he says were made when the country was under direct American administration.
You attended a campaign press conference for Prime Minister Alawi. I guess he wasn't there. This was the other day. And people for his campaign were handing out $100 bills to journalists. That sounds like an unusual campaign practice, or at least it would be in this country.
It's not so unusual in this part of the world. Under the old regime, it was very common for favored journalists, along with favored everybody else, to get gifts of money, pistols, all kinds of different things, watches that they were handed out. Some of the monarchies in the Gulf were also known for that. It's a bit uncommon in post-war Iraq, but it's not unheard of. And basically, the idea is parties sort of act as patronage nets where, you know, there's something that people know that they can come to if they need money, and you try and spread your patronage as much as possible to sort of get as many people who owe you a favor as possible.
Steve Negus, Baghdad correspondent for the Financial Times. Steve, thank you.
Thank you.